Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4, we'll read verses 35 through 41 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of the wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And let's finish on verse 41 together. Ready? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to the other, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, in a day and age where character and where doing right seems to be unique, here it's the norm. Thank you for our people and their faithfulness. Their faithfulness to you, the bus workers and drivers that were out all weekend trying to get boys and girls and young people here to church. Thank you this morning that the altars were full and your presence was here. And Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, our minds, and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, the title of the sermon is The Great Paralyzer. The Great Paralyzer. We read there in Mark chapter 4, starting with verse number 35, all the way through verse number 41. Here's the story. Jesus and his disciples were on a ship in the Sea of Galilee. A big storm hits that sea. Jesus was calmly sleeping during this terrible storm. But he was the only one that was calm. Everybody else was full of fear. In verse number 4, Jesus asked them, Why are you so fearful? And then he answers his own question. In verse number 40, he says, How is it that you have no faith? You see, we are to be full of faith. You can't be full of faith if you're full of fear. Hear that? You can't be full of faith if you're full of fear. You and I are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We as Christians are to be filled with God's Spirit. But you can't be filled with the Spirit if you're filled with fear. See, whatever it is we're full of, that then controls our behavior. If you're full of faith, faith will control you. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will control you. If you're full of fear, then fear will control you. You say, what is fear? Let me see if I can explain it. Fear is the mental anticipation of failure. Fear is a mental anticipation of hurt. Fear is a mental anticipation of disaster or humiliation. Fear is the anticipation of things going wrong. Fear is advanced emotional distress. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will stop you from doing what you ought to do. Fear is a tool and a tactic of the devil. Everybody experiences fear. But let me say, fear is not sin. To allow the fear to keep you from doing what God wants you to do is sin. I said, fear is not sin. To allow the fear to keep you from doing what God wants you to do is sin. We won't turn to it, but in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 18, the latter part of the verse says this, Fear hath torment. Fear hath torment. Fear brings suffering. But the problem is, it's advanced suffering. Advanced emotional distress. unnecessary torment. Remember, fear is the anticipation of hardship. Fear brings torment. Hey, get this. Then if that which you feared comes to pass, you are tormented again. If you fear on Monday what could happen on Tuesday, you had to go through the anguish of fear Monday. Then if you do have to go through something difficult on Tuesday, you go through the fear again. You had double torment. Please let that sink in. Double torment. You have put yourself in anguish on Monday about something that may or may not happen on Tuesday. Now, if it doesn't happen on Tuesday, you wasted some emotional strength on that thing called fear. See, fear sees the obstacle and blinds us to the opportunity. Fear proves we're looking at our weakness instead of looking at His strength. Fear reveals our attention is focused on our insufficiencies instead of looking at God's sufficiency. Folks, don't let fear fake you out. Fear shoots blanks. When the devil's got you fearing on Monday what may happen on Tuesday, you're wasting an awful lot of emotional power on Monday. Now let me teach you the biblical cure for fear's paralyzation. And people, we know this. We get fearful. We don't do what God wants us to do. Fear keeps us from moving forward. Let me show you the answer for this thing called fear. First of all, God's promises will cure fear's paralyzation. You get that? God's promises cure fear's paralyzation. When fear has paralyzed a Christian, that Christian has either forgotten the promises of God, or never knew the promises of God, or just doesn't trust the promises of God. I want you to notice something. If you have your Bible there, in verse number 35 of John chapter 4, I want you to notice something. Jesus is talking here. He says in verse number 35, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Now, I'm telling you, God's promises can cure that paralyzation that comes from fear. And here in this story where they were fearful and they were scared, Jesus says to them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." This is not just anyone talking. It's Jesus talking. Did you know that everything that Jesus says comes to pass? He tells them, "We are going to make it to the other side." Now, they were in a storm, but what did he tell them? "We're going to the other side, boys." He told them that before they were afraid. Had they just said, "You know what? Jesus said we're making it to the other side," they all could have taken a nap like him. But they didn't listen to his promise. It would not matter how bad the storm, Jesus promised, "We are going to the other side." It would not matter how frail that ship was. Jesus promised, "We are going to the other side." It would not matter how inexperienced the captain was. Jesus promised, "We are going to the other side." It would not matter how high the waves were. Jesus promised, "We're going to the other side." Now, folks, let me tell you something. When God promises you something, you can go to the bank on it. If God said it, it's going to come to pass. See, God can't lie. Hebrews 6:18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. The Bible is a book, and it is a book full of God's promises. Someone said there are over 30,000 promises in God's Word. Listen, when a storm of life hits, run to the promise book. Run to the promise book. As you read your Bible, look for God's promises to His children. The Bible says that these disciples were fearful, they were scared, they even feared exceedingly. But get this, no harm had come to them. They were wasting emotional strength. They were all panicked. Jesus said, "We're going to the other side." What are you all shook up about? I already told you, nothing to worry about. We're going to the other side. These disciples, remember, fear brings advanced emotional suffering. No harm had come to them. They had a promise. They were panicked with anticipation of bad that wasn't even coming. You ever had it? You ever panicked and freaked out and said, oh, it's over, it's all devastated, there's no chance. And you woke up tomorrow and said, oh, I wish I wouldn't have behaved that way yesterday. Because, you know, the bad was not even coming. Why? Because Jesus promised, we will go to the other side. Don't let fear interrupt the will of God for your life. Don't let fear guide your life. Don't let fear control your decisions. Instead of letting fear paralyze us, we should trust God's promises. Hey, instead of letting fear produce anticipation of bad and advanced suffering, why don't we let God's promises produce advanced confidence and anticipation of God's goodness? We ought to look what God said and say, you know what? I'm gonna bank on God's promises, not some conjured up fear tactic that the devil's placing on me. Trust God's promises, not your feelings. Our feelings lie to us. God's promises never lie. If we did not have a perfect Bible, then fear could dominate us or paralyze us, but every word in this book is true. This is God's book. If we did not have a faithful, prayer-answering, promise-keeping God, then fear could control us. But wait a minute, folks. The Bible's true. God is not a liar. Fear paralyzes, but God's promise will give you confidence to move forward. See, God's promises cures fear's paralyzation. Don't miss that thing of double torment. Remember, you spend all day Monday in torment, in fear about something that may happen on Tuesday. You got to get up on Tuesday and go through it all again. Relax on Monday. Serve God on Monday. Hold it together on Monday. And when it comes time to go through what you must go through on Tuesday, God will be there with you. And in many cases, we don't even have to go through what we thought we'd have to go through on Tuesday, so we wasted all day Monday, and God see us through on Tuesday. Number two, remembering God is in control cures fear's paralyzation. I said remembering that God is in control can cure the paralyzation that comes from fear. Hey, don't forget who our God is. In 1 John 4:4 it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, I'm glad of that. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You might also, this is also called the sovereignty of God. Now, I believe that man has a free will. I'm not a Calvinist in any way, not in any way. But I do believe that God oversees the affairs of men and intervenes according to his love and promises. Folks, God is still in control. God is still in control. In our text, Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the ship. You remember? There's a storm. There's a storm going on. Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the ship. They go and wake him up. They ask, Master, carest not that we perish? Notice they said we. They were including him. Had they forgotten who he was? Jesus was not going to drown. All they had to do is look at the scripture. No drowning. They had forgotten. They had forgotten who their God was. And there are people in this auditorium. You are tormented by fear, and you have just forgotten who your God is. Fear comes when we forget who our God really is. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He is the God that is mentioned in Revelation 19:6, where it says, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hey, that's our God. The fact that Jesus, the Son of God, was in that ship should have produced security. You say, well, I'll tell you what. If Jesus would have been in the bottom of the ship and I would have been on the ship, I wouldn't have had fear. I'll go one better than that. He lives inside you. He's not just on your ship. He's inside you. In the person of the Holy Ghost of God, you have a living inside you, part of the Godhead, Jesus Christ himself. And he said, we're going to make it through this. Don't you just got to believe his promise. He is the same God to whom the devil had to receive permission from to test and torment Job.
Right.
Satan had to stay within God's parameters when harassing Job. Boy, folks, you hear me say it all the time. Satan is not allowed to push you further than you can be pushed.
Right.
God never tests or tempts anyone above that which they're able. Never. 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 You say, but I think he is. Never. Not you, not anyone. Satan has to stay within God's parameters of harassment when he gives you a hard time. In our text, after the disciples fear, Jesus speaks and the winds sit down and shut up. The sea submitted to my God. He had that power before he used it. Their fear was obviously unnecessary. They had forgotten who he was. They had forgotten what he promised. And now they had wasted emotional energy. They were paralyzed because of it. Have you forgotten who your God is? You know, nothing can happen in life of a Christian that God does not sanction. Hey, let me tell you something. I hope this will make sense to you. When Paul was in prison, you read about it in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 1, this is what Paul said. Paul said, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. He is actually in a prison. But listen to what Paul says about being in prison. He says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know what? He said, I'm not really the prisoner of these human enemies who locked me up. He was saying, I am in God's will, and I wouldn't be here in this prison unless it was God's plan. And I'm really God's prisoner here, not man's. You people on the outside of these bars may think you locked me up, but my God is in full control, and he can knock these bars open any moment, any time he wants. I'll sit in here, and I'm going to be just fine, because I'm not your prisoner. Nah. I'm God's prisoner. I'm in God's will. Paul expected God's intervention. Fear did not overtake Paul because he remembered who his God really was. You see, God's promises can cure that paralyzation that comes upon us because of our fears. Secondly, remember that God is control, and that can calm your fears. Number three, remembering God's past works can cure fear's paralyzation. Remembering God's past works can cure that paralyzation that fear brings. You hear this? A woman was shopping at her local supermarket where she selected a quart of 2% milk, a carton of eggs, a quart of orange juice, a head of romaine lettuce, a 2-pound can of coffee, and a pound package of bacon. As she was unloading her items on the conveyor belt to check out, a drunk standing behind her watched as she placed the items in front of the cashier. He said, with a fearful look on his face, "You must be single, ma'am." The woman, a bit startled but intrigued at how fearful this man looked at her 6 items on the belt, seeing nothing particularly unusual about her selection. She said, "Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. But how on earth did you know that I'm single?" The drunk fearfully replied, "Because you're the ugliest woman I ever saw." Listen, you and I, if we could just look back at what God has already done, we wouldn't be so fearful about what he's doing right now. Remembering God's past works cures fears paralyzation. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." It is not a sin to experience fear, but remember, it is a sin to be controlled by fear. If we could just remember the times from our past when God intervened, it would calm our fears of now. We just need to look back. Just look back at what God has already done. Listen, if David feared going into battle with Goliath, later in life, he could look back and remember how God had delivered him and overcome some present fear. If Joshua feared going into the battle of Jericho, later in life, he could look back and remember how God had delivered him and he could overcome some present fear. If Moses feared challenging Pharaoh while in captivity of Egypt, he could then look back and remember how God delivered him and he could overcome present fear. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego feared when being put into the burning fiery furnace, they could then look back and remember how God delivered them from that burning fiery furnace, and they can overcome present fear. Maybe Joseph feared when he was placed into Potiphar's prison. He could then later on in life look back and remember how God delivered him, and that would help him to overcome present fear. Hey, Daniel probably feared when he was placed in the lion's den. But later in life, he could look back and remember that God delivered him from the lion's den and say to himself, "God delivered me from the lion's den. God can deliver me from this. God delivered me from the battle of Jericho. God can deliver me from this. God delivered me from Pharaoh in Egypt. God can deliver me from this. God delivered me from the burning fiery furnace. God can deliver me from this. God delivered me from Potiphar's prison. God can deliver me from this." I don't want to be full of fear. I want to be full of anticipation of God's repeated intervention who pulls me out. Say, "But what if he doesn't?" I'd rather have faith that God's going to. If I get to heaven and God said, "You have too much faith," he can stick my nose in the corner for a little while. Psalm 56:3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will trust in thee." Folks, look back to past victories and it will calm your fears. Look back to past answers to prayer and it will calm your fears. Look back to God's intervention in the past and it will calm your present fears. If I believe God will step in, I won't be paralyzed, but I'll go forward in spite of fear. So many times we're paralyzed. So many times we should go forward. So many times we should just keep on moving. But the devil psychs us out, and you say, "Well, what do I do? What do I have to bank on?" Look back. Look back at all the times that God brought you through. Look back at all the times God pulled you out. Look back at all the times that God seen you through and you made it. Claim his promise. Believe what he said. Look back to what God's done before. He'll do it again. If I remember he did it before, I will be calmed that he can do it again. God's past reputation calms my current fears. A child that's afraid of the dark. A child that's afraid of the dark on Tuesday needs to be reminded that everything was okay on Monday night. Understand, everything was okay last night in the dark. Looking back at God's watch care will give you confidence. God said, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." God said, "I changed not." God's hand is not shortened. He is not slack concerning his promise to usward. Not at all. God is as powerful today as he was in the day of Joshua. God is as powerful today as he was in the day of Daniel. God is as powerful today as he was in the day of Moses or Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Joseph, or Daniel. Hey, just look back and let me tell you something. God does not love Daniel any more than he loves you. If God can deliver a Daniel, he can deliver you. If God can deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God can deliver you. What we need to do is look back at all the times that God brought us through. You see, fear is a paralyzer. There they were on that ship. Jesus, calm, in the bottom of the boat, sound asleep. Everybody else was panicked. Everybody, they come and say, aren't you afraid we're going to perish? He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? When he calmed the storm, he used the same power that he had before they panicked. He was the same God before they panicked. He had already promised them, you're going to make it. Fear paralyzes us. It causes us double pain, double distress, double hurt. Now, you may have to face a challenge on Tuesday. Can I recommend something to you? Hold it together. All night tonight. All day Monday. Hold it together as long as you can on Tuesday. And if you've just got to be scared to death, make it as short a time as possible. Because fear makes no difference other than it paralyzes you. You understand that, right? If something's just going to come upon you, you freaking out about it for 3 days didn't make a difference about it. Made you yell at your wife, though. Made you make some stupid decisions, though. Tormented you emotionally. Fear shoots blanks. Fear kicks in gear long, long, way too soon. Way too soon. The sooner the devil can kick fear in your life, he's got some of you panicked about something that's supposed to happen in 2 months. You're going, oh, devil's saying, look at that. Got him. Got him like a puppet on a string. He said, what am I going to do? God's promises cure fear's paralyzation. You say, what am I going to do? Remember who your God is. Don't forget, he was on a ship with them. Nowhere in the scripture does it teach anything about Jesus Christ drowning to death. All they had to do is look at the truth. We say, what am I going to do? I'm going to remember what God has done in the past for me and for others. And I'm going to let his past strengths be claimed for today's hurts and fears. God knows what he's doing. You remember, he said, I've not given you a spirit of fear. He said, I've given you a spirit of confidence. That's what he meant. We live in fearful days, but could I tell you something? I doubt that you and I live in days that exceed those days when Moses and the children of Israel were in captivity to Pharaoh. They had fears. Say, we live in tough days. Probably no tougher days than when Paul was being thrown in jail on a regular basis just because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Others have been through tough times too. There are Christians everywhere in their everyday life paralyzed by fear. The great paralyzer, fear. His promises, don't forget them. They can pull you out of that emotional tailspin that we go into. Listen, if you're not saved, you ought to get born again. You ought to get saved. I'll tell you something. You ought to fear hell. You ought to fear hell. You say, well, what am I going to do about it? Trust Jesus Christ. He can pull you out of the mess. He can pull you out of the mess. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.